Good day and a very happy Thanksgiving week to all. We're recording a little early this week. This is episode 40 of our podcast, Then and Now. I'm your host, John Shomo. This week, we will look at facts, anniversaries, historical events, birthdays, etc. for the week of November 29th, Friday through Thursday, December 5th. We'll then tackle a couple of current topics, one of them being tariffs, one of them being U.S. House races. There are three of them that still aren't called, and a little bit of Browns. And then we'll get to our three good questions segment. You can reach us with a good question, and we need good questions. We're running a little short on them right now. So if you have a good question to ask us or ask our audience, please send it in to the email address, threegoodquestions, T-H-R-E-E, goodquestions, at gmail.com. Okay, we'll go to the anniversaries, etc. first. First of all, for November 29th, on November 29th, 1864, in Colorado, U.S. Army troops slaughtered hundreds of Native Americans in what became known as the Sand Creek Massacre. On November 29th, 1890, Army played Navy in football for the very first time. The game was held at West Point, I believe, and Navy defeated Army 24-0. They will renew their hostilities, if you will, in a couple of weeks, by the way. On November 29th, 1963, a record was released in the United States by a group called the Beatles from England. The A side was I Want to Hold Your Hand. The B side was I Saw Her Standing There. And that's the record that launched them to their still unbelievable fame here in the United States of America. I Want to Hold Your Hand was their breakthrough song, here at least. Speaking of the Beatles, a sad anniversary. George Harrison passed away on November 29th, 2001. I remember that as the first event that knocked 9/11 slash national security issues off of the front covers of Time and Newsweek and the news magazines. The news magazine Time, I remember, the next week just had a picture of George standing there with a big flower. That's the first event. That's how big it was that one of the Beatles had passed away. He was the first. His death was the first thing to really nudge all the national security issues off the front page. On November 29th, 2014, I attended, along with our son Matt, the Ohio State-Michigan game, won by the Buckeyes 42-28. It was a fascinating game. It was awful for JT Barrett, who broke his ankle on the first play of the fourth quarter. And the backup quarterback, Cardale Jones, came in, quarterbacked the team in the fourth quarter, led them to victory, and proceeded to do the unthinkable, win the Big Ten championship game in a rout, score 42 points and beat Alabama in a playoff game, and beat Oregon with 42 more points in the national championship game. That was the first year of the four-team college football playoff, by the way. We are now, 10 years later, in the first year of the 12-team college football playoff. For more discussion about that, I would invite you to find our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter, which you can also find on Spotify, just like you can find Then and Now there. Okay, moving on, November 29th, birthdays include Louisa May Alcott, author of Little Women, born on that date in 1832. The best to ever call baseball on radio, television, you name it, the late, great Vin Scully, the Dodgers' longtime broadcaster from 1950 to 2017. Vin Scully, born on November 29, 1927. Hall of Fame pitcher, unanimous choice for the Hall of Fame. That is very, very, very rare. In fact, he is the only guy. Mariano Rivera of the Yankees will be 55. And the now starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Russell Wilson, will be 37. November 30th marks the birthday. Lots of birthdays. We have no events here to speak of. Lots of birthdays. November 30th, Samuel Clemens, also known as Mark Twain, born on November 30th, 1835. Sir Winston Churchill, one of the indispensable men of the 20th century. Winston Churchill, born November 30th, 1874. Dick Clark, born on that date in 1929. Dick Clark started a teenage afternoon TV show in Philadelphia that had kids dancing to the hit songs of the day back in the 1950s, called it American Bandstand. It became a 33-year staple on ABC television, He then went on to produce a lot of TV shows. He produced his own show for New Year's Eve, Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve. Passed away a few years ago. Dick Clark really made his mark in music and television. Hall of Fame coach, the late Bill Walsh, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, most notably. Bill Walsh, born November 30th, 1931. Bo Jackson, one of the great two sports athletes of all time. Bo Jackson will be 62. Comedian and actor Ben Stiller will be 59. Hall of Fame catcher, most of his career was spent with the Texas Rangers. Yvonne Pudge Rodriguez will be 53. Kaley Cuoco, mostly known for her work in The Big Bang Theory. She's been in several big movies, too. Kaley Cuoco is 39. And Braxton Miller, speaking of the Buckeyes, Braxton Miller, one of the most unappreciated great Ohio State football players ever. He'll be 32 on November 30th. He was two-time Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year. Just an electric guy with the ball, led the Buckeyes to a huge win streak, 23 or 24 games in a row. Got hurt right before the 2014 season, which gave the job to the redshirt freshman JT Barrett. Came back, his shoulder was so damaged he really couldn't play quarterback anymore. So in 2015, they made Braxton Miller a slot back slash wideout. His spin move against Virginia Tech that year in the opener is legendary, by the way. You can find that on YouTube. Happy birthday to Braxton Miller. Moving to December, the 1st of December is Independence Day in Portugal. Happy Independence Day to the Portuguese. John Quincy Adams, son of the former President John Adams, was elected president in the House of Representatives. Nobody got a majority of the electoral votes that year, which meant that the House of Representatives, one vote per state, would choose the president. He was chosen, much to Andrew Jackson's chagrin, by the way. Bingo, the game Bingo, which we've all played, really, at some point, right? Bingo, invented by Edwin Lurie on December 1st, 1929. I don't know how they got the date exact for that. Who thought of that? But that's the way it is. Rosa Parks was arrested in Montgomery, Alabama, for refusing to yield her seat on a bus to a white man, very famously, on December 1st, 1955. That sparked a nearly year-long bus boycott in Montgomery, Alabama, which was led by a young minister named Martin Luther King Jr., one of the great seminal events of the 1960s, really, even though it took place in the 1950s. It launched the 1960s in terms of nonviolent resistance to immoral laws, if you will. Our Akron Zips won the MAC football championship. Believe it or not, they actually won it on December 1st, 2005, up in Detroit. They won 31-30 versus Northern Illinois on a last-minute Luke Getsy to Dominic Hickson 30-yard touchdown pass, and the extra point gave them the one-point win. That's the Zips' only win in the MAC in terms of the football championship. They've been a member since 1993. I would remind everybody that the last MAC football championship for Kent State was 1972. Okay. That being said, birthdays include Hall of Fame manager of the Dodgers, Walter Alston, born on December 1st, 1911, won three World Series with the Dodgers, managed people like Sandy Koufax and Maury Wills and Don Drysdale and so forth. Woody Allen, the filmmaker and comedian, will be 89. And six-time major golf champion, the Merry Mex, Lee Trevino, will be 85. Richard Pryor, the late comedian, born on December 1st, 1940. And the drummer for The Doors, John Densmore, will be 80. On December 2nd, 1804, Napoleon crowned himself the Emperor of France. There's a famous painting. The crown was to be placed on his head by the Pope. The Pope stretched out the crown to do it. Napoleon took the crown from the Pope's hands and placed it on his own head. That was a preview of things to come in the Napoleonic era, I think. The first ever nuclear chain reaction was performed under the west stands of the football stadium at the University of Chicago in Hyde Park, Chicago, on December 2nd, 1942. The football stadium is in a different place now on campus. Where it happened is actually on a sidewalk on one of the streets. There is a monument to that event there. Lucy Liu, the actress, will be 56. Britney Spears, who has had a, well, let's say interesting career, will be 43. Aaron Rodgers, now of the New York Jets, controversial quarterback to say the least. Aaron Rodgers is 41. And one of the great people that I ever got to coach or teach in class in my long career at Talmadge High School, Ed Householder, will be 34. Ed's just one of the greatest. You can't ask for a nicer guy. Soft-spoken, kind, you name it. I run out of adjectives for Big Ed. December 3rd, Illinois was admitted as the 21st State of the Union on December 3rd, 1818. The Beatles released their Rubber Soul album, kind of took them in a new direction, if you will, on December 3rd, 1965. The first ever human heart transplant was performed by Dr. Christian Barnard in South Africa on December 3rd, 1967. In 1979, on December 3rd, The Who was scheduled to play a concert at Riverfront Coliseum in Cincinnati. The tickets were sold in what was called festival seating, which means first come, first people can get to the front row or wherever they want to sit. There was a crowd of people outside waiting for the doors to open. The Who started doing their pre-concert sound check, running through a couple of their numbers, and there was a stampede outside. People were crushed against the locked doors of the Coliseum, and I forget how many. I think it was six people lost their lives very tragically in that incident. They did not tell the band about it until after the show was over, kind of unbelievably. They then did a show in Buffalo the next night, December 4th, and on December 6th of that year, I saw The Who at the Richfield Coliseum. Really one of the best shows I've ever seen, but that was only 3 days after the tragic events down in Cincinnati. Speaking of tragedy, a Union Carbide plant in India leaked toxic fumes into the air. 4,000 residents of Bhopal, India, were killed in that incident. That was in 1984, 40 years ago. Birthdays include General George McClellan, a longtime leader of the Union Army during the Civil War. McClellan born on December 3rd, 1826. Ozzy Osbourne will be 76 on December 3rd. And my friend, my coaching colleague, longtime counselor at THS, the great Don Duffy. His birthday will be December 3rd. I'll give you a hint. His birthday number this year is the same as the last two numbers of a Pirates World Championship team, not 1979, by the way. Okay, there's a little riddle for you. Okay, December 4th, Crazy Horse, born December 4th, 1849. Southside Johnny, Johnny Lyon. Asbury Park guy. He will be 76. He's still around, thank goodness. Actor Jeff Bridges will be 75. Jay-Z will be 55. And Tyra Banks, pardon me, easy for me to say, will be 51 on December 4th. Finally, for this week, on December 5th, the first use of uniform numbers in football. Gee, that helps a little bit. The first time a team used uniform numbers, it was the Pitt Panthers. On December 5th, 1908, first team to use uniform numbers in football. Amazing. The 21st Amendment to the Constitution was ratified at 5:32 p.m. on December 5th, 1933. And at that moment, corks popped all over the country, because if you know your history, the 21st Amendment repealed the 18th Amendment and allowed the consumption of alcoholic beverages once again. The Montgomery bus boycott, which I previously mentioned, began on December 5, 1955. The eighth president, Martin Van Buren, born December 5th, 18... No, that's not right. He's not born December 5th, 1837. I got the year wrong. Anyway, he was born on December 5th. I'll have to correct that next week. George Armstrong Custer, born on December 5th, 1839, an Ohio native by birth. A West Point graduate. He graduated near the bottom of his class in West Point. And very famously, he and his brigade were mauled, if you will, almost eliminated by Native American Indians at Little Bighorn in 1876. Walt Disney, born December 5th, 1901. Walt Disney, I mean, what can you say? All of the things and characters and, you know, everything that he and his collaborators have created over the years is quite amazing. The last birthday will do, well, the last three. Richard Penniman, Little Richard, born December 5th, 1932. He died in 2020, one of the pioneers of rock and roll. Jim Plunkett, the 1970 Heisman Trophy winner and two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback with the Raiders. Jim Plunkett will be 77. And 1977 PGA champion Lanny Watkins will be 75. He's giving up his play-by-play duties for the senior golf tour for the Golf Channel and NBC. He's had a long career doing that after his playing days. There we have it, our birthdays, anniversaries, etc. for the week. We'll get into a couple of topics here now. First, I want to kind of go over a little mini lesson here, like I was teaching it in economics or in history class, about tariffs. Tariffs are big time in the news as we record here on Tuesday before Thanksgiving. President-elect Trump has promised, if you will, or announced that he is going to slap a 25% tariff on all goods coming from Mexico and Canada, plus an additional 10% tariff on all goods coming from China, quote, until they crack down on fentanyl smuggling, unquote. So I think it would be useful for the American population to really understand what tariffs are and what they do. So this is a little mini lesson on tariffs. What are they? A tariff, by definition, is a tax placed on foreign goods brought into a country. Who would pay them? Well, the tariffs would be paid by the importers. In other words, in this instance, if the United States is slapping tariffs on foreign countries, American companies, the importers, would pay the tariff to the U.S. Treasury. They then, obviously, they're not going to take a hit if they don't have to. The companies will then usually pass the higher costs on to the rest of us, and we'll be the ones to pay it ultimately, the consumers. Who really pays for them? That's right, we do, all of us normal people. Why? Why is President-elect Trump doing this? Well, he says it's to, quote-unquote, quote, punish Mexico and Canada for allowing so many migrants to cross the borders into the United States. I really haven't heard very much about hordes of illegal migrants crossing over from, you know, Windsor or Niagara Falls or someplace like that. Mexico, that's a different story. But anyway, that's what he says. He says it's to punish both countries for allowing so many migrants to cross the borders into the United States. That, by the way, would directly violate a law that was passed here in 1993 called NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, which sets up the United States, Canada, and Mexico as a free trade zone. Who will pay for it? You will. I will. All of us normal people will. What else will happen? We'll have more inflation because things are going to cost more. Everyday items are going to cost more. We get so much in trade from Mexico and Canada and China, obviously, that will raise inflation, guaranteed. Okay? There's no real argument in economics about the effect of tariffs. It's meant to punish, quote unquote, other countries. Who does it really punish? Probably the American public, if you will, and businesses also. So, you know, in my view, a very bad idea, but we'll see if it happens. You know, he's promised a lot of things over the years. Some of them he's followed through with, a lot of them he hasn't. Let's see if Congress fights him on that, because that's a law. He can't just nullify a law by himself. That's going to be a constitutional issue. Okay. Second, U.S. House races. Believe it or not, here we are at the end of November. The election was in the first week of November, and we still haven't called three of the 435 United States House of Representatives races. They happen to be the Iowa 1st District, where there's a 797 vote difference, and this is out of 100,000 in these districts, by the way. The Republican leads there by 797. That'll probably generate 99% of the votes in. That'll generate a recount. The California 13th District, a 207 vote difference, 98% reporting. Out of 205,000 votes cast, they're within 207 votes. There are still votes to be counted. The Republican candidate leads by 207, but that is literally too close to call. And the California 45th District, there's a 581 vote difference, almost all the votes counted. The Democrat leads in that district. So, assuming, and this is an assumption, this has not happened yet, assuming that the Republicans win two of those three, as would be if the vote count stopped right now and they had to call it, Republicans would win two and the California 13th would go to the Democrat. If it ends that way, the House will be 221 Republicans, 214 Democrats. Very close. Also of note, President-elect Trump has nominated Elise Stefanik, GOP representative from New York State, as the new UN ambassador. If she's confirmed by the Senate in January or early February or whenever they get around to it, she would be replaced. Her vacant seat in the House would be replaced by the Democratic governor of New York, who would obviously nominate a Democrat to sit in that seat until the next election. So that would make it 220 to 215. In other words, they would have basically a two or three vote majority moving forward. We saw 2 years ago, it was 2 years ago, how troubling a very, very, very small majority is in the House of Representatives. It gives individual members great power because they can say, hey, look, I got two people with me who don't like what you're doing. We're going to vote you out as Speaker, or we're not going to stand for this bill, or something like that. They will have, I think Speaker Johnson will have a very rough time getting that together and being effective in terms of pushing an agenda in the House of Representatives. So we're either going to be 221, 214, or 220, 215, it looks like, in the U.S. House. Okay, last one here, and we'll lead to a question here on this one. How fun was that Browns-Steelers game last week, the snow globe game up on the lakefront, where the Browns upset the dreaded Pittsburgh Steelers and it snowed really voluminously during the game? That leads to a question, and I'll ask the question this week. This will be our good question. Since we didn't get any, folks, I'll ask one. Should the Browns build on the lakefront or build a domed stadium in Brook Park? Those seem to be the two offers on the table, if you will. The owners of the team, the Haslams, have proposed much renovation to the current site on the lakefront, the old Cleveland Municipal Stadium site. And there is a plan in place to build a domed stadium with development around it and stores and so forth, much like Patriot Place up in New England, out in Brook Park near the airport, near where 71 and all those highways converge near Hopkins Airport. Which should happen, lakefront or Brook Park? Send us your answers and your reasoning, if you would, at threegoodquestions@gmail.com. And we'll give you a shout out and let people know how you think on the next episode of Then and Now. Again, that's three good questions, THREE, goodquestions@gmail.com. Lastly, but certainly not leastly, if that's a word this week, go Buckeyes. Beat that team up north on Saturday. I know this isn't our college football podcast. The fifth quarter covers those things in detail, and you can find that on Spotify as well. But, I couldn't let this week pass without saying that. It is that week once again, and the Buckeyes with a win against that team up north on Saturday will open a lot of doors and a lot of possibilities for championship hopes for this season. Hopefully they can get that done. All right. Lastly, again, have a happy Thanksgiving weekend. Enjoy time with family and friends. Enjoy great food. The weather may not be as enjoyable as it's been in the past, but at least in this part of the state, it looks like there's not going to be very much precipitation. Famous last words, knock on wood. It looks like up in Painesville, I wouldn't want to be up in Painesville and Ashtabula in the next 10 days or so, or Erie or places like that. It looks like lake effect snow is going to really deluge parts north and east of us here in Talmadge. So bundle up, be careful, get the snow blowers ready. Again, have a great holiday weekend. Enjoy time with family and friends. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. This is John Shomo for Then and Now. Thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you again next week. Have a great holiday, everybody.